Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
Cowboys appear to be all in on Dak Prescott despite swirling rumors surrounding Tom Brady. Michael Irvin added some fuel to the Brady to Dallas fire, but later walked back his comments on the situation. But signing Brady would certainly be an all-time, all-in move for Jerry Jones, who turned 78 in October and obviously isn't getting any younger as he chases another Super Bowl title. Greg Jennings, which quarterback will have a better year next year, Dak Prescott or Tom Brady?
Dak Prescott.
Wow.
Dak Prescott will have the better year. We already saw what he's working with. And what the year he's coming off of with the talent that was around him. Now, we understand that Amari Cooper is not under contract, Randall Cobb not under contract. There are some variables that need to still be put in place there to help support what he was able to do and establish for that team. And he doesn't have a contract with the Dallas Cowboys, let alone all those other guys. But let's say he does get signed by the Dallas Cowboys, which I believe he will. With Mike McCarthy being now at the head coach position, Kellen Moore at the offensive coordinator position, him establishing that relationship, understanding the importance of having a relationship with someone in the offense to continue to progress and build on that. And then you add Mike McCarthy, who we've seen what he was able to do with an Aaron Rodgers and the Brett Favres and those guys. His resume precedes him as far as being able to get the most out of those guys. You can arguably say whatever you want to, argue me up and down about Mike McCarthy, but he's going to make Dak Prescott a better quarterback. If this all works out and he is with the Dallas Cowboys, assuming that it will, Dak Prescott will definitely have the better season. Again, we've mentioned it. Tom Brady is going to be 40 years old. Unless he gets into the perfect storm, and you talk about the Chargers, everyone automatically assumes that you insert Tom Brady in with the Chargers and they're going to be great. Well, that is not always what the case is when you're going into a completely new situation, offensive scheme, a co-coaching staff, culture. You don't know what the culture is, and you have to now create that. Tom Brady being with the Patriots, if they were to put pieces around him, I think he would have a better chance of being up there with Dak Prescott as far as their play. But Dak Prescott clearly, by far, will have the better season next year.
All right, Boston, I'm saying it would be Tom Brady if you gave him the same weapons that Dak Prescott had, where everybody, including Chris Broussard, said they were going to the Super Bowl.
Well, we don't know.
That's how talented it was.
We're talking about next year.
Well,
Let's not talk about what he had, because we don't know if Dak Prescott's going to have the same weapons.
I'm just saying that Tom Brady can do that. And we've seen quarterbacks age quarterbacks win if you put them in the right situation and circumstance.
We saw
Peyton Manning win.
We never saw a 43-year-old
but
win.
But we saw Peyton Manning, who was the Tin Man in that Super Bowl, could barely move around, and he was able to do just enough and not hurt the team, but the defense carried him. All I'm saying is people last year thought with the pieces that the Cowboys had that they were going to the Super Bowl. And not only did they not go to the Super Bowl, Greg Jennings, they didn't even make the playoffs because Dak Prescott wasn't able to win the big games that they needed to win. They went to Philadelphia, the division right there waiting for them, right? All they had to do was go beat a depleted Philadelphia team. They were having quarterbacks as wide receivers because they had nothing for Carson Wentz. And what did Dak do? Laid a goose egg, no touchdowns in a big game, really like a playoff game. All I'm saying is they're not buying all the way into Dak, and that's why Michael Irvin came out with this. That's why he went and put that out there about people around the Cowboys, because they know with that talent base, if they were to insert Tom Brady, protect Tom Brady and have the weapons that they have, they would have a better chance to win a championship than Dak Prescott. That's why that story
Stop.
Was put
you
out
You don't
there.
Believe you are running,
I do.
You are running wild with this Tom Brady to Dallas story that even Michael Irvin himself has walked back.
Only because they talked to him.
Do you know that?
I feel like that.
Now look, Dak Prescott is going to have the better year individually, okay? Now, I mean, he's, what, 27?
Don't matter. 26. If you can't play, 26. Don't matter how old you are.
26 years old. He's not going to get worse. And Tom Brady at 43 is not going to get better. At best, he'll probably stay the same, maybe slightly better.
I thought you said the Patriots won 12 games last year.
They did.
Oh, so you tell me, wasn't Tom Brady the quarterback?
No, they had the number one defense in the league.
Last year you were talking about
how great their defense was.
Yeah. Which player, quarterback's going to have a better individual season? Dak last year threw for more yards per game, about 50 more yards per game, more touchdowns, better QBR, better completion percentage. That's going to be the case next year. Now, if Brady gets in the right situation, maybe it's New England and they add some skill position players. Maybe it's Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, whatever, the Chargers. He might win at a higher clip than Dak. I think the Cowboys will be good, but Brady will probably be on a team that is really good too. So if you're looking at winning, maybe Brady will have, you know, go further. But individual season, I think Dak's
going to
have a better
individual
season.
Yeah, it's got to be Dak Prescott. Now, you do make a good point. You're over here, Rob. If somehow the Patriots get Greg Olsen at tight end and A.J. Green of the Bengals as a free agent, Brady's numbers will be better. But Tom Brady was not a top 15 quarterback in this league this year by any statistical measure. You can look at whatever you want. He was not a top 15 quarterback. Dak had his best season in the league. Again, I don't know if you buy the stats. You like the win-loss record stuff. I feel like
only when it supports his
No, arm. Only because he was 2-7 against teams 500 or better.
Again, but it's about 2-7 is indicative of his coach, of his defense.
But it's about,
it has nothing to do with just, you can't bring out quarterback
when
records.
They went to New Orleans, right? New Orleans didn't even score a touchdown and beat Dak Prescott and
Dak
the Cowboys.
Dak Prescott did not have a game.
Okay, he didn't have a good game there.
Tom Brady was awful
no touchdown.
Awful.
I got plenty of examples.
He needs his receiver to be on the field against Philly.
Yeah.
Was Amari Cooper out there? Every play.
Amari Cooper was
he
there.
Was in, he was in and out. In
did Dak
and out.
Have
he
a
was
good game? Did Dak have a good game that game?
I may be wrong, but I believe the Cowboys led the league in drop passes.
They were up there.
Yeah. They were up there.
They were third in the conference.
Oh, there we go.
Their coach was awful.
I want to say this, too. So let's say Tom Brady goes to one of these stacked teams. Let's just call it the Chargers. And they're stacked. Or New England brings in all this talent. Dak Prescott still is going to have the better season. Why? Because no one is going to ask Tom Brady to do what they're going to ask Dak Prescott to do at the quarterback position at this stage in their careers. You're going to ask more out of Dak Prescott. You're going to get more out of Dak Prescott in result. It's just like basketball. Everybody talks about, you know, what am I going to get from this shooter? Well, if you give him more shots, I guarantee you he's going to score more points. If you give Dak Prescott more opportunities, there is no chance Tom Brady is going to outperform him individually. You're not going to ask a 43-year-old quarterback to come into whatever situation, even New England, and they know him better than anyone, and say, hey, Tom, win for us again. That's not going to be the narrative. That's not where he is in his career. It's just not going to happen. Sorry, Rob, you are dead wrong on this one.
I'm not wrong, and I'm telling you, you guys don't want to believe it, but Dak Prescott and Matt Stafford are closer than you really want to believe
it. Stop it.
And the only difference is one playoff win. Matt Stafford puts up all these numbers for the Lions. You know that he's prolific. He's a prolific passer, has really big numbers, but they never were going to win in Detroit with Matt Stafford, and they won't win with Dak Prescott. Despite all the talent, for them not to make the playoffs a year ago where the Eagles were broken down, the Giants were a bad team, is ridiculous.
I agree.
That they didn't make the playoffs.
And they made adjustments. Year. They fired their coach.
Would you admit that? Last year.
Yes. I agree.
Time but they bro, made it. Hold on. You comparing to Matt Stafford. He's played 10 years. How many times has he made the playoffs?
I think two or three.
So, okay. Dak's made it twice in four years.
Wait. What? Hold on.
Two?
How many times?
I think two.
Okay.
There's a big difference between two and three.
I think it's two.
Dak has made it twice in 4 years and beat the great Russell Wilson in the playoffs before Dak got there with Tony Romo. In their previous 6 years, Dallas had made the playoffs once.
So you're blaming Dak Prescott for not making the playoffs?
Yes, he is.
You're putting the full blame on Dak Prescott that Dallas, with the third best point differential in the NFC, missed the playoffs.
Yes, because you can't look at the point differential.
Why?
He piled up numbers against the bad teams. He started the season 3-0. They played Washington, the Dolphins, and
what about the previous
the
3 years, yeah. Rob?
No, I'm talking about now. What about now?
You can't erase his first year.
We don't even have to erase that. If he didn't put up those numbers, you would have been making a stink about the fact that he didn't put up those numbers.
No, but I'm saying, but it matters who you beat, Greg. You know that if you're trying to win. Are you trying to win a Super Bowl or not?
He beat
Russell
Wilson.
Are the Cowboys trying to win a Super Bowl?
I'm going to say this. This is no slight against Tom Brady. It's just where he is in his career. So before all the New England fans go crazy and say
I'm champion Tom Brady.
It's not. It has nothing to do with the talent of Tom Brady. It's where he is in his career, which is why I'm going with Dak Prescott.
Well said, Greg. No mercy. After March 18th rings in, the Saints will technically not have a quarterback on their roster since all three are up for new deals. Both Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill want to stay in New Orleans. But Sean Payton has insisted he sees a potential future for Hill at quarterback, comparing his late bloomer potential to that of Hall of Famer Steve Young. Hill recently told the AP he's viewing himself as a full-time franchise quarterback. Greg Jennings, funny, I'm also viewing myself as a full-time franchise quarterback.
Should
the Saints move on from Breeze and go all in on Taysom Hill?
They should definitely move on from Drew Breeze. But go all in on Taysom Hill? No. I would go all in on Teddy Bridgewater, which is what I think they will do and what they did do this past season. When they had the chance to insert Taysom Hill or Teddy Bridgewater, who did we see out there for the five games? We saw Teddy Bridgewater.
And they did well.
And they won all five of those games. However, Taysom Hill, he does provide this excitement at quarterback. And I do believe he would be successful at quarterback in this league. When we look at the Lamar Jacksons, the Deshaun Watsons, and the Russell Wilsons of the league, and this running kind of epidemic that we're seeing the quarterbacks go on at that position, the time for a stand-in-the-pocket quarterback without being mobile, that's about done. And so with Taysom Hill, when you look at what he was able to do in that playoff game, he will provide some team with a spark at quarterback. And you know, we were talking, Brady Papinga just was here recently. He played defense. He understands what it's like to be stressed as a defender against a running type of a quarterback. Colin Kaepernick's. These guys, they come and they splash, and sometimes they don't have longevity of careers because they never develop in the passing game. And why do I mention that? Because Lamar Jackson, we've seen him literally make a splash, but he's developing himself as a passer more than ever. Why? Because he understands that's how I'm going to have the longevity. And with Taysom Hill, he can definitely throw the football. He can catch the football. He can run the football. He's a very physical, durable guy, type of guy. So I like him in a situation that you're building an offense around his skill set. But to keep him over Teddy Bridgewater in New Orleans, I wouldn't do that.
Look, I don't think they should move on from Drew Brees. He's 41 years old. I get it. He played well last year.
Not in that playoff game.
Now I'm getting rid of it.
There ain't no one game.
He led the league in completion percentage yet again. He averaged 271 yards passing a game. Yet again, he was 27 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Yet again, I mean, this is not Tom Brady or Peyton Manning at the end. Drew Brees still has it. I get it. There might be some decline, but you know this, Greg. Your Super Bowl window is short. And right now, New Orleans is in that window. So I'm going on Brees on one-year deals. I'll let him play next year. And if he falls off, we'll move on. Because I keep one of the two. And I'm with you on this. I would keep Teddy Bridgewater. He's proven to be a winner. What was he, 22-12 in his career as a starter? And last year, if you look at the overall numbers, you might say, well, he only averaged like 160 yards passing a game when they went 5-0 this year.
Game man.
But look at the, well, hold on. His last three starts this year with New Orleans, he averaged 278 yards passing the game. So they started him out slowly as a game manager. Then as time went on, they start letting him throw the football. So I'm with, and I think Bridgewater, if you went to him and said, look, we're going to keep Drew one more year. We think we still can win a Super Bowl this year. You're our guy next year. I think Bridgewater would stay. He already did that in the past. And he'll, if you have to let him go, because he threw 6 passes last year. I like him, like you said, situationally and all that. But he threw 6 passes, completed 3 for 55 yards. So let's slow down on
Chris. You could argue he was one of the best bargains in the league. He made $645,000. He helped you on special teams. He was essential.
He's a great football player. That doesn't mean he's a great quarterback.
Well, that's where we agree. I'm with Broussard here. Like, this idea to move on from Drew Brees a little bit crazy.
No, I'm with Greg. I'm done with Drew Brees.
What?
I'm New Orleans. Drew Brees the last 3 years in the playoffs, 10 touchdowns, 6 picks, 69% completion, just okay. They were 2-3. And that game that everybody cried about when they had the pass interference, they got the ball back.
Yeah.
You want to go back and watch what Drew Brees did at the end of that game? They still had a chance to win that game, Greg, even with that horrendous penalty, and he didn't play well enough. So all I'm saying is I'd rather let him go a year too early than a year too late. There's no reason. It's the time. Contract 41. Move on and go. And Teddy Bridgewater's sitting right there. Even if he's not your long-range guy, he's the bridge guy.
100%.
He's the bridge guy. And then you go draft somebody and then develop that guy, but you got Teddy Bridgewater for the next 2 or 3 years until that guy's
there. You want Bridgewater as a starter and Taysom Hill as a backup? Even though Taysom Hill just said, well, I want to be a franchise guy somewhere.
If I think that he has that potential and I could bring him along, but you have a guy who could step in right away. You're living in the past on Drew Brees.
Why are we living in the past on Teddy Bridgewater, who's hurt in college and he's now hurt in the NFL every year?
He played well.
He's healthy now.
He played well in 5 games.
He's healthy now, though.
You're ready to give it to Taysom Hill?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I am ready to keep Drew Brees. I want to keep Drew Brees and keep Taysom Hill as my backup.
Keep Drew Brees until
Until Drew Brees is ready to go.
See, and that's the problem I have.
Oh, really? The Super Bowl quarterback, Drew Brees?
Exactly. Because there's other Super Bowl talent that they have on that team that won with him.
But he won the only guy.
But are you still wanting to keep them? Exactly. That's the problem. The reason why I struggle with this is because as a quarterback, you're always given the benefit of the doubt because the idea is, well, they're not a lot of them out there. No, that's your job to go and find one and get one that fits and that will work with whatever it is you can provide and create around them that will make your team a better player. If they believe that Taysom Hill is that guy, then let Drew Brees go somewhere else. You obviously
let Drew Brees go somewhere else.
Why not give him one more year deal, Greg? Why not give him one more?
You're gonna let the face of your franchise, the guy who won you a Super Bowl, just go wherever.
I understand that, but that's the problem. We're quick to throw away a running back or a receiver or anyone else, but the quarterback.
Because the quarterback's the most important position in sports.
The quarterback's getting more love than the receivers.
Absolutely, that's what this
But look at what the Chargers did.
The level of play is declining. Let's just admit it.
Really?
Last year he threw for 5 touchdowns and 350 yards against the 49ers. Did we forget that?
No, we didn't forget that. But when I needed you most, Look what you provided me. If we talk about Pat Mahomes, you talk about Pat Mahomes. If the Pat Mahomes did this, then it's like, wait a minute, what's going on?
But wait, Kirk Cousins drove down the field against a defense. Drew Brees ain't playing cornerback. Kirk Cousins made all the throws down the field in overtime.
He did. Yeah. And Drew Brees did not do that.
Right.
He did not do that. They got a crucial turnover, and then Drew Brees turns around, and he gets the ball stripped. Like, I get it. I love what Drew Brees has done. One of the best to ever play at the position. In New Orleans, he changed the landscape of that organization, that franchise, in a crucial moment after Katrina. But there's always a time when you have to identify it is time to move on.
Let me tell you.
And we have an option in-house that we can move on.
In Bridgewater or Hill?
Both.
In Bridgewater. But Bridgewater's ready right now, and it's just like I give the Chargers credit. They could have brought Phillip Rivers back for one more year.
Phillip Rivers is
washed.
Don't compare Phillip Rivers.
You compare Phillip Rivers last year to Drew Brees.
No, you can't
compare the situation.
Right, it's the situation, Chris. I'm not saying they're equal players. The easy thing for the Chargers to do is say, oh, Phillip had a bad year. Let's just bring him back again.
Because he's been here forever.
You can't do that.
Phillip Rivers doesn't want to be there. He moved across the country to Florida. Jake Glazer reported it. Fox said he moved across the country to Florida.
And
Drew Brees is not leaving New Orleans.
Drew Brees had a good year.
Yeah, you cannot kick Drew Brees out. We got to run this
Rivers threw five times the amount of interceptions. No mercy.
Zion Williamson sure played inspired last night, dropping a career-high 31 on Portland. Zion also had 9 rebounds, 5 assists. And listen, folks, LeBron, KD, and Luka Doncic are the only other 19-year-olds ever, Rick, ever to have a 31-9-5 game. Zion's averaging 21 and just under 8 boards through a whopping 9 games this year. As Rob Parker shakes his head, Rick, has Zion Williamson already established himself as a superstar in the NBA?
Who put him up to this?
I'm trying to educate these guys, Rick. Me and Greg are on one side, you're on the other.
Are we handing out the superstar tag like they hand out keychains at a trade show?
Yes, like, apparently so.
That's
what we do. This is 2020. Yeah,
welcome.
Superstar. He's not even an all-star yet.
Thank you.
He is, now, I will say this. He is exciting and fun to watch. He has shown some superstar-like qualities. But right now, he's an energy guy. That's what he is. He's an energy guy, and he's a dynamic energy guy because he's so athletic. But superstar is a guy who, I mean, first of all, what's the accomplishment at this point?
Thank you. Nothing. Like, he's a celebrity.
Yes, yes.
In this day and age, with the internet, so you know, with the social media, that's right. That's what they are.
So, but for me, a superstar leads you to championships. He's the best player on your team. Zion Williamson is not the best player on this team. They don't play through him offensively. Defensively, he's not very good. I mean, he's kind of lost defensively. What surprises me is that as dynamic and athletic as he is, he's kind of a phone booth rebounder. Like, I would have expected that he was going to be able to, that was one thing, he was going to put up huge numbers. Offensively, he can go get his own, and he can do some electric things, but man, I mean, Judge Judy a superstar? Because she's very popular.
So, Greg Jennings, let me read the definition of superstar. You'll take it.
Please do.
According
to who's definition?
Superstar, the dictionary definition. Look it up.
Okay.
High profile and extremely successful. Greg Jennings?
He's high profile.
Take it away.
Look, Zion Williamson is a superstar. The question should really be, can he live up to the superstardom? And my answer is, right now, with the sample size that we've seen, Rick, I get it. I get it. What has he done? Well, he's been effective. He's been very effective when he's been given the opportunity, when he's been given the minutes, and when he's been asked to be effective in these 9 games, as you're going to so eloquently allude
nine
to.
9 games, my goodness.
Listen to what I'm saying. When you talk about a superstar, you're talking about a guy who was the number one overall pick. He has all this hype surrounding him. And everyone has this expectation of him and what they consider he could be or should be or will he be.
Yeah.
Right now, with what we're seeing, even last night, he is showcasing to us that, yes, I'm going to live up to the hype. I get it. It's 9 games. But
what was that? What was that going to? Did you say? You said going to. He's going to live up to the hype.
Yes, meaning he is in it. He's going to live up to the hype.
He's doing that now.
He's living it.
Rick, the number.
He's going to make it after the show.
I'm not in bacon right now.
Hey, you look like you already have the bacon.
Rick, first 9 games,
yes.
Last 30 years, nobody else in NBA history has scored 20 or more in 7
why don't we go to 30 years?
You're asking for numbers.
Why are they those numbers? Because when they went back, they had to figure out like a number that worked so that they could put them in there.
Parker, a minutes restriction coming off an injury. He's scratching the surface.
I just think it's premature, and this is the life that we live in. We want to crown people right away because they were the first overall pick.
No, we're not crowning anybody but Zion Williamson.
Or because he's on the social media and everybody knows who he is because he played at Duke. He's a fine player. He's not a superstar.
Okay. Nobody's...
Rick's definition is perfect. That's the real definition of a superstar.
Well, what? Which part?
Is Ja Morant
no.
a superstar?
Trae Young is not a superstar.
Is Luka Doncic
a superstar? Is a superstar, yes.
I could argue, and I agree, Trae Young is not a superstar yet. But there's more evidence to back up Trae Young being a superstar than Zion Williamson. Trae Young is starting in the All-Star game because of all the fans voting for him.
Right.
Trae Young is putting up my... I bet I can look up some numbers. How many players have averaged 30-9 in their second year? Zion's played 9 games and are 5-4.
They're the 10th seed right now. I'll tell you right now, you know this,
Greg. Congratulations.
Nobody wants to see Zion Williamson in the first round after he's got 30 games
under his belt. Yeah, I'm sure the Lakers
are
just...
I don't think they're scared.
That is a
dynamic player who can take over games right now. Already.
Wait a minute. He hasn't taken over a game yet.
But because he's not played 9 games. He's on a minutes restriction, right?
Okay, so with all of that, I think Chris made a great point. If we're just going with superstardom because you are popular, because everybody wants to see you succeed, Trae Young is a superstar. Without question, he's a superstar. And I'm sorry, you're saying Ja Morant? Is not a
he's going to be the rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year. He's not a superstar, but Zion Williamson is.
I know it doesn't sound logical. He can be the rookie of the year.
Because it's not logical.
Say it again.
It's not logical.
Superstar, high profile, extremely successful.
When you put that dictionary down,
tell America.
This is
you don't believe in dictionaries.
That's talking about TV stars, actors, actresses, sports.
This is the English language. You surprise me the most because.
We expect that from Jay
Because
forward thinking.
Because you know how hard it is to achieve different various status levels in the game.
And to keep it
going. I would think that you wouldn't give that out so quickly. Because there are guys I'm sure you played with who had like 3 or 4 amazing games.
But he has to earn it.
And you didn't say, that dude's a superstar.
Odell Beckham Jr. Some
talent, you can identify it right away.
Yes.
And I think we can't just say, he's not a superstar because he hasn't had the opportunity to showcase it on a big, large scale or sample size. What he's doing, he's a superstar. To come in with all the hype, to be number one overall pick, to have a team pretty much say, we're looking for him, we can't wait to start. The league shifted everything as far as watching just so we can watch.
So is Trae Young a superstar?
I'm not saying Trae Young is a superstar.
Why not?
He's got all of that.
Good player.
Why not?
I will say this.
He's in the All-Star game.
He's starting in the All-Star game.
Listen to me. I will take this from Rick. And I will gladly take it from Chris. But from you, Rob, I can't take it.
Because he's flopping like a politician.
Because Pat Mahomes is not a superstar. Lamar Jackson is not a superstar.
Yes, they want Pat Mahomes to be the GOAT.
Nobody said GOAT.
Patrick
Mahomes is a superstar.
Thank you.
No, but he is. He's a GOAT?
He's a superstar.
We're just saying he's potentially
How many superstars do you have in the NBA currently? Because if you're just saying championships, which you said earlier, does that mean Giannis is not a superstar with an MVP award?
No, I could say Giannis is a superstar. Okay.
He's leading his team to this.
Wait, I think
had to think about that?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I agree with his premise. I don't say you got to win a championship.
But you should be leading your team there.
You cannot be a superstar in the NBA without consistently leading your team to the playoffs.
Again.
There's no way.
Yeah, here's the thing. Guys will always get their numbers. For me, a superstar gets everybody else's numbers. He makes the game easier for everybody else. And that was the only thing that I had to, that gave me pause with Giannis, because he's a great dynamic player. And in various ways, he makes them go. But you've seen how they play when you take him out of the equation. They're still very good. Mm-hmm. And I need to see him do that in the postseason when it becomes, we're going to game plan to stop you. And you've got to be able to adjust your game. We're not looking, this is what always bothers me. And we're going to hear it with, if they don't make it, we're going to hear it about Giannis. Oh, they would get somebody. Chris Middleton can't be the second best guy on the team. LeBron James in Cleveland, oh, if they'd only get him help. And then he goes to Miami and he learns how to win a championship. He learns how to make other guys better. And now suddenly it's different and you can do it with almost anybody.
I want to piggyback on something else you said about Zion, because look, I think he's going to put up, if he stays healthy, he's going to be like a 25-11 guy. And I love the fact that he doesn't dominate the ball. And you don't have to really run plays for him other than, you know, they get it to him in the post.
Right.
But I think that makes him be able to fit with other guys perfectly because he doesn't have to dominate the ball. However, when we talk about the superstars, Giannis, LeBron, Kawhi, Steph Curry, James Harden, they are guys that when all else fails, you can give it to them on the perimeter and they can create something off the dribble without even dominating the ball, but they can create their own shot. I don't see that yet in Zion yet.
No.
Will he ever be that guy? So he may be a guy that's 25-11, making the All-Star every year, and a legitimate star, but not the number one guy. Anthony Davis, I don't think, is a number one guy. He's 1A because he can't do what the other guys I just mentioned can do.
So is Anthony Davis not a superstar?
He's a, I would call him a superstar. I would call him that.
But he, not Anthony Davis is I would not call him a superstar.
No, because he does not fit the definition of making other guys better.
Your definition.
My definition.
Okay.
Yes.
But he doesn't fit you guys, though. Your definition is like, celebrity popularity. Nash, AD doesn't have that.
Steve Nash is a superstar. He made everybody else better.
He was a superstar.
But Anthony Davis, not a superstar.
You say that as if it's extraordinary that we would say Steve Nash, who was a two-time MVP.
He was a superstar.
And was the catalyst of this team, that we would look at him as a superstar and Anthony Davis not a superstar.
But you're saying Anthony Davis not a superstar.
And Greg, you know what you're talking about.
That's not even, that's not hard for me to.
It's also unfair to big guys, because big guys don't always, as you said,
nowadays
they make everybody better.
Nowadays they do.
Joel Embiid, where's he, superstar?
Not yet.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
I think he has superstar-like qualities.
And Greg said he's not going to take it from me or whatever, but the control room.
Well, that stuck with you, didn't it?
He got them to give him some.
Here we go. Yeah, yeah. Somebody said it's a
challenge. I just want them to play the video of when you told everybody how great Kwame Brown was going to be because he was the first ever thing.
What?
Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, that's silly. I really
you
like
get an A. You get an A for effort.
All right, I tried. You know,
but your whole idea of guys have to win, James Harden. He hasn't won anything.
But he wins at a high level. He hasn't won a championship. I don't think you have to win a championship to be a superstar.
To lead your team.
You have to be in the hunt and consistently.
All right, last one. Russell Westbrook. Does he make anybody better? Has he won anything? Is he a superstar?
He's been to the final. I think Russell Westbrook's a superstar. My definition is not as stringent as Rick's. I think AD is a
superstar.
And
that's the
issue. I'm closer
to
you. But I don't think Zion
is Russell Westbrook.
Rick Bucher. Stop. Thank you, Rick. No mercy. Patrick Mahomes has taken the league by storm, becoming the youngest player ever to win a regular season and Super Bowl MVP. When asked if he viewed himself as the new face of the NFL, Mahomes gave credit to Lamar Jackson being on the same level after being this season's unanimous MVP. Mahomes is only 24. Lamar, he's only 23. So we can expect a lot of exciting matchups down the road between the two. Former NFL quarterback and Super Bowl champ Steve Berline is joining us.
Steve, is Mahomes-Lamar the next Brady Manning rivalry in the AFC?
Well, we all sure hope so, I think. It'd be great if it got to that point. But there's a lot of things that have to happen before we can start billing these guys at that level. I mean, they've only had, how many games have they played against each other? Two, I think, so far in their career. And they're both 2 years into it as a starting quarterback. I think there's a lot of things that have to happen still. But truly, I think the potential is there for a huge rivalry. We already know what Patrick Mahomes is going to do. If he stays healthy, he's going to rewrite every record that's out there. I mean, if he stays healthy and that team continues to have the weapons that he's got around him, he's going to rewrite everything. And we know what he can do. He's won the big games. He's shown he's got the ability to step up and play at the highest level at the biggest moments. Lamar Jackson, he burst onto the scene this year. There's a lot more questions, I think, about Lamar Jackson when you look at what he's going to do long term. And number one is just how long can he play the way that he's playing? How long is his body going to hold up and allow him to play at that level? Now, what he did this year, we've never seen out of a quarterback before, running the football the way he did, and his development from year one to year two as a passer, astronomical. And I think he'll continue to work and develop that way because we know his work ethic is at a very high level. He's extremely competitive. He's going to push himself to prove everybody that doubts him wrong. And he's going to do the things he's got to do to continue to develop. Now, the question is whether his body's going to allow him to have that 10, 12, 14-year career playing the way that he does play. If you want to talk about some comparisons, let's talk about Colin Kaepernick, Cam Newton, guys like that, that were runners, the athletic quarterbacks that ran the football and were asked to run the football, but their bodies were not able to hold up over time, or they didn't develop as a passer over time. Forget about all the other stuff with Cam Newton and with Colin Kaepernick especially. Look at what happened after he made his run to the Super Bowl. The 12-4 year when he was in 2013, they were 12-4. You know what his records were the next few years? 8-8 in 2014. 2-6 in 2015, 1-10 in 2016, because he didn't evolve and develop as a quarterback. He didn't continue to get better. Defenses figured out how to take away the things he was comfortable with. Can Lamar Jackson continue to stay ahead of that curve? Guess who the offensive coordinator was for both of those quarterbacks? Greg Roman.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick and Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. So Greg Roman, challenges on him too as well. If he stays with Lamar Jackson, how can they stay ahead of the curve and keep him developing and evolving as a quarterback? And really, more importantly, I think as he gets up into his career, he's got to continue to develop as a passer, which I think he will. Again, year one to year two, astronomical. So I think the sky's the limit for him. If his body holds up, these two guys have shown the ability to be able to turn it up and play at a high level in the big games. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, Steve, I agree with you. Look, Mahomes, we already know he's in this. Like, he is, assuming he stays healthy, there are no other questions about him. What he does is sustainable. There's no doubt, and he's got Andy Reid, the great coach. He's got Tyreek Hill. He's got Travis Kelce. He's got, you know, Damian Williams. He's got, you know, Mecole Hardman for the next few years. So he's going to be in this discussion. Who's going to be the other guy? I think Lamar is the best choice at this point. My only question is sustainability. It's not because we've seen Mahomes win in the playoffs, obviously. We haven't seen Lamar do it. The two good teams he's faced that have seen him twice. I know he saw Cincinnati twice. They're not good. He saw the Browns twice last year. They're not good. Pittsburgh was, you know, injury riddled and all that stuff. The two teams he saw twice that were good, the Chargers 2 years ago and last year the Titans, they bottled him up early. And I know he had big numbers against the Titans and he played okay. Right. I mean, his problem is if they get down in a playoff game, now you got to change everything and he has to become a passer. I agree with you in that this summer is huge for him because if he makes the same type of leap or even two-thirds the leap that he made last year in the offseason, that's what's necessary because as time goes on, Cam Newton you mentioned. Cam Newton is twice as big as Lamar Jackson.
Right.
And he couldn't take the consistent hits and it broke his body down. Over time, I think Lamar is, as he slows down, as he takes more hits, he's going to become more of a passing quarterback.
He has to.
And if he can do that well, then this can be Brady Manning.
Yeah, no, I don't think this will be Brady Manning, but it like you said, it has the potential to be, but it's not going to be. These guys matched up 17 times, like five times in the postseason,
three or four times in the AFC Championship game. Like, they were the elite of the elite. Like, they literally led their teams, and it was all about them. When I look at these guys, their styles are completely different. Pat Mahomes is very similar. He's kind of a combination of both quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. But you mentioned something that I mentioned earlier. Greg Roman. When it comes to the style of play that Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens play, it fits tremendously well for the regular season. Can they change and turn that up a notch in the postseason? And then you look at the skill guys that he has around him versus Pat Mahomes.
No comparison. Right.
No comparison. You're talking about a guy who has two, arguably, his threats are, his two biggest targets are his two tight ends. And then you have a receiver who is a smaller guy who's been in and out of the lineup, so he doesn't have as many weapons in the arsenal that Pat Mahomes has. And then outside of these two quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson.
That's what I was going to ask you, Steve. Can he be in the conversation, Deshaun Watson, who people have seemed to poo-poo despite some of the numbers, and we've seen him be spectacular.
We have seen him be, and I'm a huge, you know, Deshaun Watson fan, too. I mean, the guy, I've had him as my fantasy quarterback the last couple of years because, because I love that guy. I mean, and he's proven himself in the big games, too. And his combination of running and passing the football, he's a thrower, you know.
Yes.
I mean, he can sling it, and there's no doubt. Now, he's way ahead of Lamar Jackson in terms of his pocket ability as a passing quarterback. So you have to put Deshaun in that category, too. You got to put Russell Wilson in that category, too, with what Russell can do as a quarterback. And Russell, he doesn't take a lot of hits, so he's still going to be – he's got another, at least 7 or 8 years left, you would think,
right,
as well.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, Steve, I want to ask you the sustainability of Lamar. We saw three pocket quarterbacks this year get injured, kind of maybe fluky. Drew Brees, Nick Foles, who won a Super Bowl, and Ben Roethlisberger all just hit in the pocket. Lamar, I know he's a running quarterback, but do you really feel he takes a lot of hits? Because to me, it's like he's more Russell Wilson. Elusive, knows when to slide, unlike, say, an RG3.
Well, when you talk about, you mentioned Brees and Roethlisberger, those are two pocket guys that are older up in their career.
Right.
They've had, you know, they've had the cumulative effect of a long career as well. There's no doubt, standing in the pocket, that's the kind of quarterback I was. I got the crap beat out of me for a lot of years.
But I'm still,
as far as you know, I got two new hips and a few other issues, but I'm doing okay. But the bottom line is, everybody's different. I mean, we saw Patrick Mahomes dislocate his knee this year, his kneecap, just on a fluky play on a quarterback sneak. Durability is the question with all these guys. We're, as you said, we had a body of work of how many games between Brady and Manning? I mean, it was 17 meetings between those two guys. It's going to define itself over time. The question is going to be whether Lamar can continue to develop as a passing quarterback and whether they put weapons around him. Patrick Mahomes, by the way, makes everybody on his team better.
Right.
Because he's got the special qualities as a pocket passer who can also break a defense down with his feet, but also especially in extending plays. And when he gets outside of that pocket, he's not looking for a completion or to get a first down. He's looking to throw the dagger. He's looking to end it right there, one play. And there are very few quarterbacks that have that ability, so he's very unique.
Doesn't running – and look, I got to admit, I've been surprised that Lamar was fully healthy through this year because I didn't think a guy could run that much and survive. But it does put you at a greater risk, doesn't
it? No doubt.
I mean, running the football like that.
And he always
took some shots. He did take a few big shots.
He took a few, but he's really good at avoiding the hits.
He is.
He's really smart and doesn't take a lot of big hits. But as we all know, there still is a cumulative effect. If you're asking him to run the ball 15 to 20 times a game, all the cutting on his knees and on his ankles and the breaking down and trying to make the moves that he makes, bodies falling on top of him, getting yourself in awkward positions. As you age, those things start to take a toll. So you have to evolve. He's not going to be able to run the ball when he's 30 years old the way he's running the ball right now. It's just you can't ask him to do that if you want him to be your quarterback long term.
No mercy.
Lakers got an overtime win last night against the Nuggets by 4. LeBron had a triple-double, 32 points, which backed up Anthony Davis's claim before the game that LeBron was the best player on the Lakers. But back in September on Lakers Media Day, LeBron stated the offense would run through Anthony Davis. In LeBron's 17th season, King James is averaging 25 points.
That's the second lowest of his career. Despite the drop in LeBron's numbers, the Lakers are 42-12. First in the West, Rob Parker, heading into the All-Star break. LA Times Lakers reporter Brad Turner joins us. Brad.
Brad.
Is LeBron.
Hey, what's up, guys?
We're starting you with a softball here. Is LeBron the most important player on the Lakers?
I want to say yes and no.
Ooh.
Yes, because he's been there before. He's won championships. He knows what it takes. No, because I want to see AD take that next step. I have not seen that yet. If you play for the Lakers, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Magic Johnson, Kareem James Worthy, they get to the next level. Can AD get to that next level? I don't know. Last year, who did that? Kawhi Leonard. That's a special place to be. Michael Jordan at the top of all of them, Tom Brady. Those guys get to the level we have not seen before. Can AD do that? If he can't, they can't win a championship.
So you've watched AD for what, 50 games here so far? What's your thoughts on so far? I mean, is he making progress?
His talent is as good as anyone in the league. I mean, he blocks shots, shoots two big threes last night.
Yep.
He can roll to the basket. He can dunk on guys. He can do everything. But does he have it in his soul?
Oh, boy.
Can you really bring all that out? Like, I covered Kobe Bryant for 20 years. Magic Johnson, I got to see him play early in my career. So I've been spoiled. I've seen the best. You covered Isaiah Thomas. So when you see the best, you expect everyone to play at that level. Not everyone can do that. Will he do that in the playoffs? I don't know.
And see, that's why I agree. And we had this big argument earlier in the show. And Greg was on LeBron, that he's the most important player. I'm with you. It's about AD. We know what LeBron can do. We've seen it. Can AD be that piece that he needs to win? That's why LeBron was willing to get rid of the whole young core, and because he wants to win a championship.
Rob, he didn't. LeBron's a basketball player, right?
No.
Who's the GM?
LeBron James. He's the one who got AD
Let's do a Google and see what it says here. I mean, the Google says it's Rob Pelinka.
Yeah, okay.
But I know what you're saying.
But it's about AD, and that's why I think he's the most important. If he doesn't rise to that, right now in the two games against the Clippers this year, he has a total of 4 points, which are two L's for the Lakers. If he plays like
four in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah, in the fourth quarter. I'm talking about the fourth quarter. I'm sorry. A total of 4 and those 2 losses. If he doesn't respond and doesn't play well, they have no shot to win. It's about AD this year.
But in those losses, who was the best player on the court?
Mm-hmm.
It was Kawhi Leonard. It has to be either LeBron or AD. They have to be the best player out there. Otherwise, they can't beat them. They've proven that. And now the Clippers have added someone that you're not quite sure about.
Wow, boy.
But they added Marcus Morris, who's tough. As tough as they come, does not back down to anyone, not even to Rob Parker. I mean, that's an easy one there, right?
That's a layup.
Oh,
that's a layup.
A dunk. But for me, it's LeBron James. LeBron James is not only the best player, he's the most important player. And the reason why is clear. When you can dictate everything, everywhere LeBron James has been, the offense he's been able to plug himself in and take over, and the offense just develops into this LeBron-centric offensive game plan. Doesn't matter who the talent is around them, and then they sprinkle in what they offer to the table. We saw with Kyrie, we saw with D-Wade and Chris Bosh down in Miami, and we're seeing it now. As much as LeBron James wants, and as much as you want, and we all want to see AD take that next step, he understands, I can't back down. I can't just give it to you. You have to show me that you're willing to take it. And then, yes, you might be the best player. You might be the most important player. But for right now, I got the ball in my hands. I dictate the tempo of the offense. I dictate what we're going to run. I make the plays. Every situation that you need LeBron to be great in, he gets the ball in those positions, in those situations. Anthony Davis, as great as he is, we need him to be great when it counts. And I want to ask you a question. You talk about you haven't seen him take that next level, that next step. What is that? And you talked about it being in his soul, but what do you see in him that either tells you he can do it or that he can't?
Last night, he took 2 big 3-point shots. He made them both. He had a big block. His talent says, yes, I can do that. His talent shows you that he has all the skills to do everything in the big moment. But once you get to the playoffs, that's the highest level you can get. You know that. So if you can't become, I don't want to say a Kobe Bryant because that's really high, but yes, if you cannot become a Kobe Bryant in the playoffs, a Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs, you cannot leave your legacy at that moment, then you have almost failed. Let's look, you talk about LeBron James. When they beat Golden State, he had the big block. Who took and made the big shot?
Kyrie Irving knocked
down
the
big shot. Who wanted the big shot?
Kyrie.
That's what you really want to see from someone like
that. He didn't give up the ball. He didn't even hesitate.
But Brad, at the same time, you look back at those early Shaq-Kobe teams. Shaq was the clear alpha, three-time final MVP. You need a number two to be a Kobe, to back up. You tell me Anthony Davis can't be the two and they're fine?
You said Shaq was the clear alpha.
Oh, in those three finals MVPs?
I would say it was a 1-1-A.
Fair enough. I would agree with 1-A, 1-1-A. Believe Why can't me. LeBron and Anthony Davis have that?
They can. We don't know yet. We won't know until April gets here.
Because we haven't seen him be able to do it in the postseason
so far.
Never
had any team.
He had a good playoff series against the Portland Trail
Blazers. Right. They swept him.
They swept him because of the way he played.
You know what? You just made an interesting point because you talked about Shaq and Kobe, and you said it was a clear alpha, and I agree with you. There was no clear alpha. And the reason why there was no clear alpha is because Kobe, you couldn't convince him that he wasn't the number one clear alpha.
All you got to do is go to his rookie year and see the two air balls he put up.
Even Kyrie Irving. You couldn't convince Kyrie Irving that he wasn't the one player. Like, you understand, okay, yeah, everybody wants to say this is LeBron team, but this is how I feel, which is why Kyrie ended up leaving, because he felt like, I can do this without him. When you have, to your point, when AD takes that step and not make the comment that LeBron is the best player on the team.
What do you want him to say, Greg? Do you want him to say, I'm the best player on the team? Stop.
No.
I don't want him to say that LeBron is.
Exactly.
I don't want him to say that.
Team player. That's what team players do.
You don't have to say that. Why do you have to pacify LeBron in year 17?
So what do you want?
After he's won
what
three
do you
years.
Want
you know why he doesn't?
We're both the best
when
players.
When you're around AD, you realize that he's a really easygoing, nice guy, does not want to create problems. So you will say he is the best guy on the team. He's the best guy in the world. But you want to prove that you are. Now, Kobe Bryant, no.
Would never say that.
No.
Michael Jordan would never say somebody was better
than him. Those are two different types of people, right? AD is not that kind of person. His talent tells you, I am great. His personality says, I am with the group. I'm about all of us. And if LeBron James is the best player, then I will say he's the best player in the league.
So basically, you're thinking of the alpha as, hey, we're all going to the car. I'm driving. I'm the alpha. I'm going to decide whether I'm driving or I'm riding shotgun. Anthony Davis is just like, hey, let's roll out. Let's go as a group.
Yes.
I personally think that's a little overblown, but, you know, you've been around the Lakers.
Well, look, I'll say this. We look back to when the Lakers played the Indiana Pacers. Game 4, Shaq fouls out.
Yeah, that was.
And who takes over?
Kobe.
It was that moment I thought to myself, Kobe Bryant will be that guy. Those moments come along very, very seldom. It came along for Kawhi last year. At some point, I'm thinking it may come around for the Lakers in the playoffs. Will AD step into that void and fill that role when LeBron James perhaps just can't do it? And he needs help.
Everybody needed it. Kobe needed help. Kobe didn't win until Pau Gasol came back. But let me ask you about Lakers Clippers for a sec. You mentioned Kawhi was the best player in the fourth quarter in the first two Lakers Clippers meetings. Brad, how do they stop him? Does it need to be LeBron? Does it need to be Anthony Davis? Should it be someone else? Can LeBron be the best player in the fourth quarter if he's, as Greg said, running the offense all game? And then you got to go defend Kawhi. That's too much to ask of LeBron.
No, it's not.
At 35?
No, it's not. If you're the best player on the planet and you still say you're the best player on the planet, you take on that challenge. You decide that I will guard Kawhi Leonard. If not, then AD takes on that challenge. One of them has to be the guy that says, I will be the one to do this. The Lakers have been run down by them in the fourth quarter every single game they've lost to them. Mm-hmm. They get a double-digit lead. The defense starts to suffer. They become stagnant on offense. They run plays that you wonder, why is LeBron dribbling the ball 28 seconds on a 24-second clock? I mean, you wonder all these things. Why are they not executing when the Clippers are?
So I got to ask you this because we discussed this earlier. There was an anonymous executive that said that there is no chance.
Yeah. No way. Don't misquote the anonymous.
I'm sorry.
No way.
There is no way that the Lakers beat the Clippers in a playoff
series. Seven-game series. That's what
do you say to that?
Why play the game? Why show up? I just looked on my phone. I did the little Google thing. And I saw that Boston was down 3-0 to the Yankees in 2004.
Were they?
Yeah. And I think they came back and won that. No.
They didn't get swept.
No. And I say that because I'm a Dodger fan. And they just did a big thing yesterday. So, no way. Why am I here? Why are we here?
If there's you no can way put it out there. The guy's just being, all he's saying is.
It's a cool thing to say.
It is.
Right, that's my fault.
And it's not, it's not wishy-washy. It's not the middle of the road.
No.
But I just think when you look at where the Clippers are, their depth, their coach, they play defense on the perimeter. Just look at,
they
have three closers. They have guys who can finish games. When you look at all that and say a seven-game series, and they're all playing in the same building. They're not, right? It's going to be the same if they're playing the Lakers. How could you not think that they would not win a seven-game
series? The Clippers would be the heavy favorites, no doubt in my mind.
Heavy? Yes.
Stop. You know, that's not what Vegas said.
They have four guys that are averaging 18 points or more a game. The Lakers have three guys averaging double figures. The Clippers have six guys averaging double figures.
Heavy favorites, Brad?
At first, I would say slight. I would say heavy because...
Oh, because they got Marcus Morris. That's right.
Well, watch him play.
Do you watch? I've seen him kind of goon it up against LeBron in the
past.
That's what he did. Brad, timeout.
I ain't gonna call a brother a goon.
He's not a goon.
I'm just saying the dude can ball.
No doubt about that. He led the league in fights last year or something like that. Come on,
Brad. He fits right in with what the Clippers are
with Pat Beverly on the team. There's something to be said about having tough guys on your team that won't back down. So, yes, I would say maybe heavy favorites too hard.
Okay, there you go.
But I had them as slight favorites on Christmas Day. Now I'm going to say they're just the favorites to beat them because they have a better team. But no way I would not use that phrase ever in anything.
To be clear, Vegas has it dead even. They're both the same odds to win the championship.
Lakers started 24-3 and it's dead even now? How could that be?
Well, because as you said, Kawhi Leonard, that's why. So, Brad, real quick.
Is that what Vegas said?
That's what Vegas says.
Vegas is never wrong, right?
Okay, yeah. Vegas is never wrong. All right, Brad, good stuff. I got a million questions for Brad. He's got to go.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.